The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are not necessarily the views of WMAL.
When the time has come for moving on, you can't go wrong.
Pointing You Home with Eric Stewart on WMAL.
Pointing You Home.
Now, here's your host, Eric Stewart.
Good morning, DMV. It's 8 a.m., February the 10th. Happy birthday, Heather. That's my sister. If you missed any show, look us up on Spotify on iHeartRadio. That's Pointing You Home on Spotify or iHeartRadio. And if you're on the computer, all you have to do is Google Eric Stewart Group Radio to listen to us anytime you want. Hey, what's going on in the DMV? Well, I've got a weekly roundup of local real estate news. Let's start off with Rockville, Maryland. There's a draft currently available for the long-range planning, including more housing options. So this is years of community input have gone into two very specific focal areas. One is around the Twin Brook Metro, the other's around the Rockville Metro. It's a 20-year master plan draft that is going to call for higher density, housing, diverse residential construction styles, and more building near the metro rail and transit hubs. Several of the proposed projects are slated for the east side of Rockville Pike, Route 355. Again, high-density residential retail development projects near Rockville, but on the east side. Important, because those areas of Twin Brook have not really been focused on until recently, and now also not at all, almost not at all, on the Rockville side east of 355. So let's keep an eye out for that. I'll keep you posted on future revelations on that matter. Lofts being proposed for North Bethesda Apartments. There's a development of multifamily residences. In North Bethesda, there's an apartment complex seeking to shift its design to reduce the lower level retail space to make room for more apartments. It means getting rid of some of their possible retail spaces on the first floor. They're thinking more like a two-level style condominium. So CBRE Global Investors is hoping to convert 14,000 of 260 square feet of unenticing real estate on the second floor of their 24-story high-rise building into 13 new apartment units. Now, that's not a lot of new apartment units, but the reason I bring it up is this could be the start of a trend. If, in fact, it's permitted and it's allowed, you might see some of the retail spaces that are going vacant in these high-end buildings because, frankly, retail's been suffering. You look around at every shopping center, almost every shopping center has a vacancy currently. It seems like that, and maybe I'm just perceiving it and I'm wrong, but there are a lot of shopping centers that seem to have vacancy consistently, a lot of turnover. That's in the retail space, and that's because of the impact of online shopping. You can buy what you want online. You can do it quickly. It's shipped to your door within a day or two. Example in the real estate world is I advised a current client who's getting their home ready to go on the market in the next few weeks that he needed to put a 10-year ion lithium battery, a smoke detector in his house on each level. That is currently the code in Montgomery County when you transfer real estate. Additionally, having a carbon monoxide detector is a good idea. Well, these new smoke detectors, you can go to your Home Depot, your Lowe's, or otherwise, or you could order, which is what they did, order it online from Amazon. And it was like $25 from Amazon, and they were on the doorstep the next day. Pretty quick, pretty easy. And frankly, other people will go to other retail establishments and oftentimes pay more. Now, maybe HomeDepot.com or Lowe's.com, it's different. But the point I'm trying to make is if you don't have to go to the store, you don't need the store. And that's where some of the retail spaces are looking. The retail owners are looking for choices here and considering maybe converting some of those spaces into rental real estate. Developers have agreed to protect a historic cemetery. Thank God. It's kind of a shock that this is even a question, but apparently there was a plan, a call for houses, office, and shops off of I-270 north of Gaithersburg, about 540 housing units in the Poplar Grove area. And so that's been protected now, and so we don't expect that. Now, we think there will be a cemetery with the development. It's not going to be just one or the other, okay? So apparently we will have a new opportunity. Perhaps it'll be a new destination around Halloween right there. Maybe they'll have some Fright Fests. I don't know. But it does sound a little unusual. Virtual brokerages will put us all down. Well, guess what? The virtual brokerages will not put us all down. And I must say that currently, a lot of the virtual brokerage companies, which you see their commercials and they advertise, we'll help you sell your house and we'll do this and this and this. But unfortunately, where you can order a smoke detector online, you can't effectively market your house just online. You need to have the ground war and the aerial war in the real estate business. And I think that many sellers are paying the price of cheaper prices on the sale of their properties and poor service that unfortunately isn't realized until after they go through that process. So be careful. I always advise you to get what you pay for. Always talk to two or three realtors. We at the Eric Stewart Group just ask that we're one of those that you talk to. We appreciate your consideration. I must say that as I've been going through the market the past week and we're getting some listings ready to go on the market, one of my clients called me. Now, he's got a home that is a Kettler-built single-family home with that antique brick on the outside, very pretty, came from row houses down in D.C. when the monuments were being built in the 60s and the early 70s. And apparently those row houses, which were 1830s, 1840s, 1870s, 1880s, that range of time, they were, again, one row house would be made of regular brick, but that would be painted sometimes, maybe green. The next one would be black. The next one would be red and so on. So a lot of times houses were painted even though they were brick. So as a result, the brick, when those were torn down, apparently the mortar between the bricks was mostly sand for those properties. If you own a DC row house, be aware of this. What's between your bricks is not necessarily concrete. It may be a sand mortar mix, which actually makes it a little bit easier for you to do a remodel and put the bricks back in because they don't shatter when you break the mortar the same way that current construction is with standard brick. The concrete's so much stronger. All right. So that said, my client's got this beautiful house with this gorgeous antique brick that was recovered from these antique, from these row houses from the District of Columbia. When they were torn down, the brick was cleaned off and resold to Kettler in the early 70s to build this development. Okay, it's very pretty, nice patina, and you can see the pink and the blue and the green from the row houses that were painted those colors. And it's sometimes interesting, you go around the house and you could see a lot of bricks from a particular row house that was torn down. Take a look at your house if you have antique brick and tell me if you don't agree. I'd be interested to hear your thoughts. Always can you can send me an email at eric@ericstewartgroup.com. And of course, our website is ericstewartgroup.com. If you want to download a copy of the Market Ready Guide or the Right Sizing Guide to get your home ready for the spring, or want to connect with us on our podcasts or blogs, okay? Now, my client called me, the one with the antique brick, and he said, hey, we've got everything going nice in this house with the exception of the kitchen and the master bathroom. And he's right. The kitchen, old wooden cabinets from about 1973. They have brushed nickel knobs that have been put on recently, laminate countertops. But, you know, the inside of the drawers are dark wood. They don't look attractive in that sense, and they don't have the you know, the quiet closed drawers, those kinds of things. But the appliances are all decent. So the other question he had is, should I take my vanity out of my master and replace it with a new vanity that's kind of all-in-one, very nice from the Home Depot? The question for you, if you're thinking of selling your home, is where can I put a dollar to get $2 back? How do I know if I'm actually going to spend money? And this is why he called me. He says, I think I want to do something, although we agreed we weren't going to go any further because they had done everything else very nicely. And we were maybe capped in on price a little bit. And I said, look, he called me and said, look, I really want to do this. Am I going to make money? And I said, you'll definitely make more money than if you don't do it. And it will speed the sale. You will cause folks who will come in the kitchen, they'll see the original cabinetry, which will paint inside and out, and we'll put brand new quartz countertops, undermount sink, and a nice new faucet, and that will finish the kitchen, which has, again, upgrades appliances, although the cabinets are older. Really will make the kitchen dynamically different. The master bathroom has a floor with a scalloped 1970s-style tile, very, very dated, and has this old vanity with the top is made of a plastic material that's crazed. It's cracking, and then it's cracking specifically around the escutcheon, which is that round ring where you put your stopper in at the bottom of your sink. And so it doesn't look attractive. The mirror's okay. The carpet is getting replaced. So I do think that for him to spend $15,000 on the kitchen countertops, sink, okay, and then upstairs the vanity and that floor, that the return on investment will be at least $20,000, maybe as much as $25,000 in return on that investment. And he'll sell his house faster. And frankly, because he's actually bringing the two sore spots in the house up in integrity with everything else in the house in terms of quality. The basement's phenomenal, so on. It makes sense to make adjustments to your home when you're bringing sore spots up to the integrity of design of the rest of the home. It doesn't mean you have to tear out all the cabinets. You put $30,000 into a kitchen, $35,000 into a kitchen, you don't get it back necessarily. In this case, he wouldn't. Better to put it in some lipstick, new countertop and sink, than to tear everything out. Because, again, a little bit of capped in terms of pricing. What do I mean by that? I mean that every home is figured based upon its location. And in this particular neighborhood where this guy's house is, homes sell in a specific range. And there's a top to that and there's a bottom to that. Now, I think we're going to go higher this year by about 3 or 4% based on demand and lack of supply. So I'm pricing higher than where the market was last year. But going a whole lot higher, I'm going to have to let the market, I'm going to have to let the market speak to that. What do I mean by that? What do I mean by let the market speak to it? Let the market direct where his price should be? Well, it's a really interesting approach to how we sell real estate. When we involve our judgment, our guidance in pricing, but also bring the market into our read and preserve our client, making sure we get the most amount of money. Want to know how to get the most money? Stay with me and I'll tell you.
This is Pointing You Home on WMAL. Here's your host, Eric Stewart.
How can I get the most amount of money for my house? That is the question every homeowner wants to know the answer to. Right now, there's the whole consideration of price. How much should I ask for it? I want to ask the most amount of money, but actually have it sell. Others would say, it's more important to me to sell, even if it's just a reasonable price. I'm not looking to get top dollar because of a time of life thing, or just don't need all the money. And believe it or not, there are sellers who don't need all the money out of their home. They just want to sell the house and move on with their lives. That's more important. But then there's consideration in terms of commission, how much you charge, how much an agent charges in a commission, what are the transfer or grantor's tax, depending on where you are and D.C., Maryland, or Virginia? What are the miscellaneous closing costs associated with that? If I ask a price, what is my cost to sell? What are my friction costs to get in or out of a piece of real estate? And ultimately, you as a seller want to have the best input in pricing without underselling your property, correct? It's the same for me. But I think it's the same for all of us in anything that we ultimately think of selling. I think that selling is a hard choice for many of us. I mean, many a homeowner that I know are excellent salespeople. They understand the process. They're business-minded. But 75% of the homeowners that I work with, they're not business-minded about the real estate sale. It's much more about the process and how I can get through it and not die in the process of complete anxiety. So you, as a homeowner, regardless of what personality type you might be, want to get the most money. I think everybody feels the same way about that. And there are a couple of different strategies that we like to work with at this time of year. One of those is to price correctly at a round number as opposed to a high number within a round number, meaning not at $799,000, but rather at $800,000. And to price our houses to where we believe the market will be strongest to allow all prospects who are looking between $700,000 and $800,000 and $800,000 and $900,000 to find that property. It's really kind of a simple idea, but it does have an impact, especially when there's a lot of demand on the south side of a number that I'm trying to help a seller achieve. But in addition to that, there's the process of entering the market and bringing it and delivering it to the market, but not selling it too quickly. You might think that sounds strange if you sold your home the first day it went on the market the last time you sold it back in the 1980s. Okay, because, you know, you put the sign up and Joe and Mary with their two kids drives in front. It's a miracle of God. They showed up in front of your door as you're putting the sign up. And they say, wow, this looks like the house we're really looking for. Can we walk inside? They walk into the house. And 3 hours later, their real estate agent shows up with an offer for your listing agent. Bada bing, bada bang. Full price. You got your hands all clear of that piece of real estate, and it was done quickly, and you got your price, and you're thrilled. What I'm saying is that may be as good as it gets, and that's not bad, but it could be better, and that's where strategy comes in. So strategizing to enter the market and keep the property available for at least a little bit of time, enough time to allow a number of prospects to see the property so that if it's Joe and Mary who come in with the first offer, maybe Billy and Bob come in with another offer, okay? And then the two prospects are competing with one another and they're offering prices where maybe you get over the list price. Now, that might not sound like it's realistic, but there happens to be one time a year where it is, and it's right now. That's why 55% of the Eric Stewart Group's homes last year sold in under 8 days. 55%. And that's 167 homes. So it's a lot of homes to go that quickly, but not too quickly that we don't see the upside. And our average sale price, average, on all of our properties was 100% of list, which means we had numerous properties which sold over list price, and we had some that got offers for lower than list price, but the average together was an even par, which is pretty awesome. In fact, I don't know anybody else who's got numbers like those. There's a lot that goes into how we bring a home to the market and the strategy of entering the market, and there's many more strategies that we work with at the Eric Stewart Group. But those are that way you bring it on the market, the house to the market, and then also let the market speak to the value. Because I don't know everything. You don't know everything. And there's no real estate agent or seller in the world who knows everything. Well, we know together, if we enter the market correctly at a right price and give ourselves a little bit of time, we will see where the market will take your property. And we'll get your top dollar. So, Fairfax County. Fairfax County, moving on. Expenditures and revenues that are associated with growth in Fairfax County from 1990 to 2000, just from 1990 to 2000, there were 151,000 new residents that came into Fairfax County. Okay. Now, that is a lot of new residents with a lot of new responsibilities, cars on the road, kids in school, right? And demographically, Fairfax County has continued to grow since 2000 and grown and grown and grown. And on average, it's been about an 11% growth rate for the last maybe 15 to 18 years in Fairfax County, which is down a little bit. It was about 18% in that 1990 to 2000. We grew very quickly in the 1990s, especially during the dot-com boom in Fairfax County and out in Loudoun County. We went into a correction in the stock market in March of 2001. And there was a correction that brought a slowdown into the economy. The economy was going faster as we went into 2003 and 4 and 5, and we saw the run-up in prices, but the last 10 years have been stagnant. Our economy locally, not just Fairfax, Montgomery, and so on, has grown each year. It has not been in a recession, though we were very close in 2011 to being, actually 2012 rather, to being in a contraction in the D.C. market. We missed it by about a month, where the economy actually shrunk year over year. Anyway, so in that period of time, we've slowly been growing inch by inch by inch, which is why I believe demographically Fairfax County, Montgomery County, Washington, D.C., Howard County, PG County, Loudoun, Alexandria City, et cetera, all of our whole region has actually been going through a very healthy building of a base in real estate where the inventory has been going down each year for the last 4 to 5 years, and currently inventories are at a very, very low number, and the number of homes sold and the average price point has been inching up each year. So in spite of the fact that prices have been going up, inventory has been going down, and as a result, at some point here, there's going to be a massive jump in real estate values in a short window of time, because we cannot continue to have lower and lower inventory and greater pricing, and having the new numbers, having the growth of 11% in our area and not have the housing stock. Although rentals, my goodness, rentals seem to be everywhere, don't they? I am concerned for the rental market, especially with a new proposal that's been flying in the air here recently about adding ADUs. These are accessory dwelling units onto the back of homes, or maybe in a basement of a house. If this became law, you'd have the potential as a homeowner to rent your basement or a garage apartment and rent it and receive income, and they'll have a second kitchen in it, and you'll be able to produce income. If you're living in a home, it'll help you to stay in your house by that person paying for taxes that you have to pay for the property, etc. But that will soften the rental market. People will be able to live less expensively with other homeowners than they will in these, you know, gorgeous, beautiful new condos that are being built all over. We'll see. But real estate, single-family real estate. You see a lot of new houses being built on 5, 7,000 square foot lots for under 500,000, under 600,000, under 700,000. Not much, right? Not much unless you get really far out. Prices are going to go up. Mark my words. We're close. I don't know if we're there this year. I'll know in a few weeks, and I'll report back then. Well, that wraps it up for the Eric Stewart Show. Every Sunday, bring you the truth in real estate, try to tell you everything I know each week on any particular subject. We welcome your questions. You can shoot those over to me personally at eric@ericstewartgroup.com. Our toll-free number is 800-900-9104. Remember that if you want to call us to schedule an appointment. 800-900-9104. Coming up next, straight ahead, I've got Senior Solutions. Helen Flynn joins me next here on WMAL.
The Eric Stewart Show, pointing you home on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.